was talking about being awarded as a Great Place to Work by NASSCOM and Great Place to Work Institute in 2015 and 2016. And we were also being named as Dream Companies to Work For in 2017 and 2018. So we are very proud for these kind of achievements because they usually do a satisfaction survey with our team members. They actually call them for 30 minutes each, and the sample size is more than 200 people. So that's a very, very proud achievement for us. So on the pictures of indoor facility, we have about 1 lakh square feet in indoor now, which can house about 1,000 people. We have about 650 people right now. There's another facility in Pune, which is about 20,000 square feet, housing about 240 seats as of now. Some of the esteemed clientele that we have, one is under NDA, but this is a Fortune 200 company, which is one of the largest logistics companies in the world. We work with them on multiple locations, Germany, India, Malaysia. This is a recent acquisition in terms of client. We got this client in the first quarter of this fiscal. Polaris Management, which is not an Indian Polaris company, but this is a Polaris Management, which is into life sciences and healthcare compliance. This is a much larger account for us. Again, this company is a part of a parent called as IMS Quintiles, which is now renamed as IQVIA. There's another company which is under NDA, but this is one of the big online survey company, and we are doing automation work for them. We are writing automation test cases for them. The next company is into storage solutions, which is a Fortune 500 company, a client with us for more than a decade now, extremely stable and growing account. Then I'll move to the next slide, which talks about clients like ICC, which is into which is similar to RERA, which is a regulatory body in India. They define building standards and codes for all the buildings in the U.S. for all the states. So it is kind of a governing body there in terms of the regulations on the building norms. ALM is a author of law.com. A client with us for the last 14 years. We work with their New York team, New York-based team, and we do a lot of content management work for them. Similarly, another company called CoAdvantage, which is into HR solutions, Wiretech, which is into content creation and publishing and management. UA Exchange is nothing but Uni Money. This is a Gulf country money exchanger. We have this account from last, more than a year now. This is one of the big wins in the Dubai market. Very promising and very interesting that we have been able to secure 6 accounts in last quarter, in the quarter of December. So why it is important and significant is because we typically sign up 4 to 5 clients in a year, and that's part of the strategy that we follow. But every time we go out in the market, we look for larger companies, so that once we enter into those companies, we are able to continuously generate repeat business from them. We should be able to mine them repeatedly. So therefore, this is extremely significant that we have got 6 accounts in just 1 quarter. And out of this, if you can look at the slide, there are three big companies, which is like Fortune 600 companies. Two of them are Fortune 100 companies. And so the opportunity for us to mine these accounts further in future is extremely high. And we have been able to do that in the past with our large clients. But we start with a very small 100K, 200K kind of engagement. But in a span of 18 months to 24 months, we are able to reach to a much larger value at that account, typically in the range of $1 million. That's where I say this is extremely significant and opens up huge opportunity for us to mine these accounts in future. Interestingly, these three Fortune accounts that we've got, one of them is in the U.S., other one is in Germany, and third one is in Dubai. Three of them are from three different markets. It's a very significant win for us. There are a few more companies that we acquired here and few more, sorry, I should be using word acquired, few more clients that we have signed up, which is, one is Aetas, which is into developing telecommunication standards in the U.S. There's another company called Cohesity, which is into storage solutions. We also have storage as a capability by virtue of our large clients that we signed, that we have been working with for so many years. Cohesity is one such addition in that space. Aetas, which I talked about, the telecom standard company, is into the standards space that we have invested upon in last few years. Going to the next slide, you know, everybody, even pre-IPO and post-IPO, whenever I meet investors, they keep asking me as to what is our USP, what is our key strength, and that the other company may not possess. I think very, very frankly, one of the key strengths that we would possess is more on the non-technical side than on the technology side. I think from a technology point of view, we do what everybody else would do, like Persistent or Infosys or Zensar. All of these companies, they are into IT services, we are into IT services. They do all the things, we do all the things. Essentially, I think the value that comes out for Infibeam is in terms of having three big things. One is that we deliver what we promise, and we are extremely flexible in our, you know, with our customers. Whatever changing needs that they have during the course of the project or after the project, we strive to meet those needs. Even if that means that we have to work away from our main functional, main core skills, we still, you know, try to make our customer happy. The third thing is the high amount of responsiveness. Since it is we all three founders are very active in the business. At any point in time, if the client has any trouble, they know for sure that they can call any of the founders, and it will be taken care of very, very quickly. I think that confidence and conviction brings us repeat business from our customers and also allows us to penetrate such large names. It is very unusual for a company of our size to have six Fortune 600 companies in our portfolio. That's very impressive, and that's very, I think that's where the USP lies, that we are able to deliver well, we are flexible, and at the same time, we're extremely responsive. Some of the other reason that I mentioned in my slide is, you know, high proven track record, great work culture, you know, driven by skilled professionals, high standards of corporate governance, you know, blue-chip client base, and 90% of the business is repeat business from our existing customers. That tells the volumes about our trust and confidence that we've been able to secure from our customers. I think the other thing is that we are also strategically located in the growing markets like Germany and Dubai, and the facilities are also in very cost-effective locations like Indore and Pune. I'll skip a few slides here, which are talking about verticals, and spend more time on the future growth strategy. On the, we have five pillars of focusing on how do we continue to grow, and these are also our objectives of raising funds from the market. Since our larger business comes from existing customers, we spend a lot of time and energy, and we have a separate business unit a separate sales function, so to speak, which we call as client success, and that is responsible for mining existing customers, try to cross-sell and upsell within the same account, and trying to generate more revenue from the same customer. So that's an important activity that we do year-round. The other thing is on the sales side, and in terms of targeted go-to-market space, both in terms of the verticals as well as in terms of the technology focus areas. So we are picking up new competencies such as automation and ServiceNow, which allows us to strike a deal very quickly and get inside large companies. So it helps us in our new client acquisition strategy, where we are extremely focused and are able to generate a lot of revenue, a lot of new relationships, not revenue. On the we have spent on the sales in all the three geographies, not only US. So we have spent in hiring people in the geographies like US, Germany, and Dubai, and we have real time salespeople on ground. At the same time, we've been very active in terms of attending conferences, even sponsoring them if needed, exhibiting in various events, technology events, and trying to be more visible in front of our potential customers. So all of these things are done to generate organic growth. And the other thing that we've been continuously focused upon is in generating inorganic growth for the business, where we are trying to see if we can acquire a company in the U.S. market where either they are in a similar business or they are into aspiring areas like ServiceNow or automation, so that we can add on additional skills that we are continuing to build upon as well. So we are investing in ServiceNow, we are investing in automation. But if we get a specialist company which is into automation or ServiceNow, we would be happy to acquire them. So good news is that before IPO or during the IPO, we were looking at a company of $2 to $4 million in revenue. But now since we have a good amount of cash in our books, all the profits of last 1.5 to 2 years have been accumulating in our reserves. We have a larger war chest with us, where we are now seeking targets of larger size, anywhere between $4 to $8 million in revenue. So that way, the ability to look at a larger target has increased many fold, and we are very, very active in that space in trying to figure out the right target. Next slide gives us a breakup on the offering. Product engineering is about 53%, digital transformation is about 41%, and automation DevOps is about 6%. Skipping two slides here, going directly to the financials. This slide, which is I think slide number 23, gives me a quick glimpse of revenues from fiscal 2015, March ending in March 2015, to fiscal FY18 ending in March 2018. Income has increased from 33 crores to 97 crores, and PAT increased from 5.5 crores to 16.7 crores. So significant growth, and margins have been improving to 17% now. We are pretty comfortable of securing a margin range of 15 to 16% year after year. Moving on to the graph, which gives you a quick glimpse of the revenue, EBITDA margin, and PAT margins. EBITDA margins are typically in the range of 20 to 24%, while PAT margins are in the range of 15 to 16%. And we are comfortable that with the increase in revenue or growth, we can continue to maintain that. Coming to the consolidated income statement for the first 9 months, Our income from operations has grown from 69 crores to 89 crores as compared to the first 9 months of last fiscal versus first 9 months of this fiscal. The total income, which includes other income also, has increased from 70 to 92 crores. Interesting point to note here is that for the entire fiscal of 2017, which ended in fiscal 18, we did a revenue of 97 crores. And the first 9 months of this fiscal, we had done a revenue of about 92 crores. So it's pretty significant growth. On INR terms, the growth is about 32% from first 9 months to the from last fiscal to this fiscal. On the EBITDA side, growth is about 25%. From 17 crore EBITDA to 21 crores EBITDA in the last 9 months. PAT margins have increased from 12.9 crores to 15.8 crores. The growth is about 23%. And the EPS has grown from 5.5 to 6.6 for the first 9 months. So about 11% growth from there. Sorry, 20% growth from there. Moving on to the quarterly income statement, from the September 18 quarter to December 18 quarter, we have, from a revenue from operations point of view, we are more or less flat. The other income has dropped by 1 crore because of the forex loss. October, I think the dollar was in the range of 73-74. By the time the revenue we are actually booked and when the money has come, we have lost about 3 rupees or so, $9, because the money has come in the range of 70-71. Therefore, there's a loss of about a crore rupees in terms of other incomes. The total income has dropped from 32 crore to 31 crore. And the spike expenditure remains flat, the same amount of expenditure as compared to the previous quarter. With the margin reduced from 7.7 to 6.6 crores, and PAT from 5.6 crores to 4.9 crores. So there's a 70 lakh drop in PAT because of the other margin, other income, which is mostly dollar forex loss. So moving on to the next slide, which gives you a quick graph. I think one important thing to understand here is when I look at quarterly comparison, the December quarter cannot be compared with December 18 quarter. December 17 cannot be compared with December 18 because we started publishing our quarterly results and getting it done audited by auditors from this fiscal onwards. So September 18 and December 18 are much more comparable numbers and much more real numbers as compared to December 17, because this does not include all the provisionings and all the expenses that typically are accounted at the year end, which is the March quarter. So December 17 comparison is not really a good comparison because there are no quarterly numbers being published and audited in that fiscal year. I think then the last slide is all talking about the market price, which is as per 31st of December, the market price was 69. I think today probably it started 75. I don't know where it is today. But at 69, the trading PE was about 8.4. And today we can probably check in the market as to what is the number. This ends up our discussion, my presentation on InfoBeans and the quarterly numbers. I'll keep it open for question and answer. And if you can just put up a identity and your name, I'll unmute all of you. So, and you can probably speak with your name, identity, and then I can take it one by one.
So, I'm Balkrishna Sharma from Groups.
Yeah, good afternoon, Mr. Sharma.
Good afternoon, how are you? So can you just briefly update us about the acquisition efforts and the likely outcomes that we might expect in this fiscal?
So I think the last quarter, I found about that we have released a couple of offers. Those offers did not materialize, so they did not progress to the next step. In this quarter, we advanced to two companies. We are very positive about that. One was in Germany. This company has been also a partner company to us. We have been partnering and jointly pitching some of the accounts in Germany. So we were comfortable with them because we've been working with them for quite some time. But it so happened that the discussions died down once we met them with the intent of acquisition. So, but we are very hopeful of that particular opportunity. So it is not progressing in that space. The second company was an India-based company which has clients in India as well as U.S. and Middle East. So that discussion is going on. It's a smaller company though, but it is a specialized ServiceNow company. So since the discussion is still on, we are at a stage where we can probably release an offer to them, but there is no assurance that I can provide in terms of whether we'll be able to sign them up or whether we'll be able to acquire them up or not. However, I can assure all of you that we've been actively working on it, and my bandwidth is mostly consumed in figuring out the right target for acquisition. An important point to reiterate here is that we are very serious about looking out for the right partner so that we can further integrate with them and ensure that it is value accretive to InfuBeans rather than doing the transaction just in haste and in pressure. So we are very conscious about it, and we are doing a lot of due diligence even before releasing the offer. So that's where it is taking time, but I'm sure we are very active and very aggressive in that space. So sooner or later, we should be able to close it. But it's very hard to put a timeline to it.
And the top line, can you bifurcate the top line between geographies? The 89 crores from USA, India, and Dubai?
Right. So the good news here is that both the geographies, Germany and Middle East, which are new geographies, they have started to grow very well, and they are cash flow positive. The broad numbers that I have are that we should be able to reach $500,000 in both the geographies, $500,000 each. So on the top line up, if I were to give you a percentage breakup, the current ratio looks like 90% US, 5% Middle East, and 5% Germany.
Okay.
So earlier it was 1% each, 1 or 2% each. Now it is 5%. So the share of these two new geographies has grown, and as I said, they are cash flow positive in these two geographies now.
Okay. And so does that mean that the U.S. Contribution is getting less, or it is just that the size is increasing and percentage-wise all territories are increasing? So that is how it is.
I think you dealt it right, Mr. Sharma. The size is increasing, and we are expanding well in both the in all the three geographies.
Okay.
So Europe also is growing well. Germany and Middle East are also growing well.
Okay. About the other income, so from 15 million, it has gone down to 5. One reason you said is the forex loss. what could be the other reason? Any fall in the treasury income?
No, there is no other fall in any other income. It is just that there is about 60 lakh loss in forex, which also bites off. You know, it settles off with 60 lakh gain in any other income. So that way, the net effect is like a significant drop.
But we don't do hedging or what? There is no natural hedging.
We do. So what we do is when we raise our invoice, I think one thing that we have learned over the years is we are staying away from speculation. We don't hedge 6 months. What we do is we hedge only for our invoice duration. So when I raise my invoice by the end of the month, my team just books it for 50% and leaves under 50% open. So essentially, you are cutting the volatility by half, and it is hedged for the invoice duration only. So if it is 60 days, it will not. The hedging will be only for 60 days.
Okay. And in terms of manpower cost, the increase is, not commensurate with the increase in the turnover. So is it because you are putting on board many people in expectation of big work, or what is it? Expenses have increased not in proportion to the sales.
And you're comparing December 17, December 18?
Yeah.
Okay. Let me just check, because from the last two quarters, the employee expenses are same.
December ending is 42 crores, and that is 55 crores in the current December ending quarter. The turnover is 59 crores to 89 crores.
Correct.
So
there is an increase of 13 crores, while there is a revenue increase of about 20 crores.
I think the increase in expenditure is to the tune of 28%, and the same is the case with the turnover. The employee benefit expenses is 429 million ending December 17 quarter.
Right.
And December 18 quarter, it is 551.
Correct.
The turnover
is 13 crore increase on an increase of revenue, which is 20 crores, right? So about 65% in employee benefit expenses.
Last year, December, 48%. And sales growth is 15.
No, from 42 to 51, the growth increase is 28%, isn't it?
42 to 55, right?
Yeah. The percentage increase.
So it is the same proportion increase in the revenue also.
Yeah. So I'm saying the increase is not commensurate. I mean, the turnover increase is not commensurate.
No. So the way we look at it is that if my employee benefit expense was 42 crores on a sale on a income of 69 crores, which is about 65%, then the same proportion maintains in the next year also. However, just to add to your question, we continue to invest in sales, marketing, new geography expansion, and new technology development. So, for example, ServiceNow and automation, these are two new services that we've been building for the last few years. Today, ServiceNow is a team of about 50 odd people, but 20 of them are under training. So this would contribute to additional expense on the employee side. But we try to maintain the overall ratio as much as we can on both sides, on the growth, revenue growth side versus the expense side. So I would tend to think that the proportion between employee expenses by sales is more or less maintained, even if the revenue has increased.
Opening number 24 is 48%. And if you see the quarter three only, on a standalone basis, the employee cost is 14 crores against the turnover of 24 crores in Q3 18.
Yeah, just a second, let me open the quarterly slide.
Quarter 3 18, the employee cost is 14 crores.
Correct.
Against the turnover of 24.8.
Correct.
Which is 48%.
And then it increased to 18 on a top line of 30.
No, the turnover is 20. Turnover is 24 crore. Revenue from operations is 24.8.
You're looking at standalone.
Yeah, yeah. Q3 of 18 versus Q3 of 19.
Correct.
Consolidated. Sorry. The results are consolidated, but Q3 on a standalone, not a Q3 18 versus Q3 19. Consolidated P&L quarterly. Your
consolidated
slide
is 30 crores, right? Income from operations.
Q3.
Are you looking at the PowerPoint or looking at somewhere else?
No, I am looking at this slide, consolidated income statement quarterly.
Correct. Slide number 28.
And income from operations is Q3 December 17.
It's 24.8.
And the correct staff cost is 14.7, right?
Correct.
So that is 48%? 59.
That is more. That is 40. That would be 58 or something.
And the current is 61 or 62. So a rise of 2-3%, absolutely.
Okay. Okay, I get what you're saying. So essentially, as I said, you have a few things that go in. One is, first of all, the December 17 quarter is not strictly comparable with December 18 quarter because of the consolidation that did not, the reconciliation and the provisioning of a lot of expenses. Which typically used to happen on the March quarter or the year end, because we never did our quarterly results before that. So that is not a strict comparison. If you look at it, there is a work in progress, which is a decrease here, which is where, you know, so there are a lot of expenses like gratuity expense, which are typically done at the year end because we never did quantitatively before this fiscal. Therefore, this are not very strict comparison that we can draw. Okay. But when I look at the yearly numbers, you will find that we are more or less in line. So when I say March 17 as a yearly number, sorry, March 18, when I compare on a yearly basis, I would be very close to the ratio that we typically used to try to maintain across quarter on quarter also.
Mm-hmm.
So that's probably the bigger reason.
Okay. So you mean to say
we continue to invest in our sales, marketing, training, all of those continue to happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
That's all from me.
Thank you, sir. Any other questions?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, this is Anirudh. This is Anirudh Bhandari, I'm an individual investor. I just wanted to know what is the order book looking like, and can you give guidance for FY20 revenue guidance, and what are the receivable days you're looking at?
So, we feel that we should be able to grow from the past record. We have been growing at 30% CAGR for the last 3 years. This year also looks at 30% growth, more or less. So that looks very comfortable. For the next fiscal, I would tend to think that we should be able to grow 20% comfortably without adding inorganic growth in the profile and in the portfolio. So 20% is our comfort zone. 30% is what we've been doing for the last 3 years and this year as well. So, you know, on a 4-year history, 30% is what we've been able to do comfortably. So if that helps.
And what are the receivable days you are looking for?
So we have our receivable in the range of 50 days or so. We typically are very prudent in terms of reducing our annual cycles. But as the client grows in size, they move from 30 days to 60 days. So we try to restrict as much as we can to our clients on 30-day cycle. But in reality, it is stretching up to 50 now.
And what about the order book? How is it shaping up going ahead for next 1 or 2 years?
So typically what happens is only very large accounts that give us a yearly forecast. But most of the other accounts will not give us any yearly forecast. What they typically do is they give us 6 months kind of view, not even an order. So they'll probably either give in a phone call during a conference, or they would write an email and this is what they anticipate in future. Typically, the project size is anywhere between 6 to 9 months. And at any given point in time, a client will have a dozen projects running. So it keeps adding up. And interestingly, the segment that we are in, which is, you know, more than 53% revenue comes from product engineering. And product engineering is, you know, we do products for our clients, which they further sell in the market. So a product is a never-ending project. It continues to generate repeat revenue. And historically, in all 19 years of our operation, we have been able to generate 90% repeat revenue from our customers. That trend, we hope that will continue.
Okay. So I also wanted to your comments on revenue concentration in U.S. So around 90-95% revenue from a single country. So how do you look at the concentration risk from U.S. Being talked of slowdown and all this?
So interestingly, after Trump, our business has grown in the U.S. Secondly, you know, we invested in 2 more geographies in December 2015, which is Germany and Middle East, and Dubai. So both of these geographies are growing now. So I mentioned that we'll be generating about 5% each from these 2 geographies. So from 95 to 90 is what we have reduced in the U.S., but from 1-2% to 5% is what we have increased in Germany and the Middle East.
How is India shaping up for this automation thing?
We don't do any business in India.
Because of low margin?
Because of low margin, because of they are still not aware of what is required. The maturity in terms of IT industry or IT services, particularly.
Are you also into the artificial intelligence and data mining kind of services?
We tried doing that, but we couldn't succeed. So we invested in 2016 in trying to build 4 technology skills: automation, DevOps, automation, ServiceNow, artificial intelligence, and data analytics, big data. So we were successful in automation and ServiceNow, but we did not go well the other two, which is artificial intelligence and big data. So we are trying again now. We're trying to see if we can build more capability around it.
And one last question, what percentage of revenue is from ServiceNow category, and can you quickly explain how is ServiceNow different than any other service provider?
So the entire German penetration happened on the back of ServiceNow. We tried many things, but ServiceNow worked very well there. And so I would say that about 5% revenue is to the credit of ServiceNow as a practice. We have a 50 people team right now, and we've been able to grow this very well. We are a bronze services implementation partner, as well as a bronze professional services partner also. So that way, we are growing up in the partnership ecosystem of ServiceNow, and also are able to successfully penetrate well into Germany market.
Okay. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Hi, my name is Dubi.
Ruby, is it?
Dubi, D-U-B-Y.
Dubi, yeah.
Yeah, hi. So first I just thought I'll congratulate you on the initiative being transparent, actually. Not a lot of big companies also present the balance sheet in the quarterly results, but good thing you're doing that. Thanks for that.
Thank you.
So I just want to know, what is your medium-term to long-term aspiration in specialization? Because a lot of companies in the smaller and mid-segment, they plan to specialize in either horizontal or vertical areas. Is there any aspiration, or do we take it along as it comes? What is the plan, actually, or the idea?
So, you know, I think, maybe the broad picture is that we don't want to specialize into one particular technology or one particular business domain. We want to remain a horizontal play.
Okay.
However, the spin to that is that in the market, when we go out and sell, we have to project ourselves as a specialized provider of some services or some technology. That is where we are choosing ServiceNow and automation as a primary door opener and a primary specialized skill. But in the end, since we're into IT services business and we don't intend to go into IT products or anything else, we intend to remain focused on IT services.
Okay.
We would need all the tools and technologies to deliver custom solutions for our customers. So that way, we are very focused on ensuring that we have all those tools and technologies available with us. Anytime there's a new set of tools coming up, we will absorb and we will be experts in that. So when we go out in the market, we tell to the customers that, okay, we are ServiceNow experts or we are automation experts, and we can solve your particular problem. So once we enter into those companies, then we can further cross-sell over other technology skills and capabilities, which allows us to penetrate very well. One recent example was a client in Germany who started with two ServiceNow folks. And today, we are working on five different projects, which are like four of them are non-ServiceNow projects. So they, at a door opener strategies, we are looking at focusing, projecting ourselves as ServiceNow and automation experts.
So we'll be majorly focusing on IT services only, right?
Right, right. We only focus on IT services only.
In some slide, I saw that we'll plan to acquire some IPs. What did we mean by that?
So when it is typically for acquisition. So what we're saying is we will grow organically and we will grow inorganically also. So when I look at companies out in the market for acquisition, these are like targets that I want to acquire. Acquisition can be for reasons like customers. It can be for reasons like my geographical expansion or my technology skills, let's say ServiceNow. And the third, fourth thing could be a particular IP. So let's say there's a very interesting company that has an IP into let's say healthcare compliance where we are already, or into storage solutions. So this particular IP can allow us to again use it as a door opener to many such players in the same industry. So that way, acquisition target. It could also be an IP driven.
Okay, so IP does not need to necessarily equate to a product, right?
It does not.
Okay. But is there any plans of getting into some annuity business with some cloud or something, SaaS, PaaS and something like that? How's that?
No, we don't want to get into product business.
Okay, fine. Thank you so much. All the best.
Yeah. Thank you. I think our time is up. I can take up the last question, please.
What is the employee strength of Avinashji current year?
About 850 now.
850, okay. Yes. So our RTE must be
closed. I would like to go back to the management for closing session. Please go ahead, sir.
Time up.
Thank you all for your time and patience. Please continue to be your shareholders, and you can always download the PowerPoint presentations on the website. I also put up the transcript on the website, the audio recording, and you can always have access to it. If you have any further question, you can email us at Investor Relations, and we'll be happy to answer. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir, and thank you to all the participants for joining us. And now you may disconnect your.